Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Global 2000 right after this message. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider. An insider like John Swinton. These remarks were made by Swinton, who was then the preeminent New York journalist, probably in 1880. Swinton was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft. Someone who knew neither the press nor Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Swinton outraged all of his colleagues when he said, "There's no such thing at this date of world's history, at least in America, as an independent press. You know it and I know it. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand that it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with. Others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. If I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone." Now, the business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes. We are the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Unquote. John Swinton, 1880. What do you think the press is like today in 2005? Well, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order. The men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers, the Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, and Vanderbilts. That's why I contend that it's time for us to wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. And if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and the New World Order, why don't you call and order my 4-hour compact disc package. Now, it's educational, entertaining, informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, just go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click on the email. Send me an email request. That's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were looking at Global 2000 from the eyes of Stanley Monteith, the population control agenda. Monteith has a radio talk show out in Monterey, California. I've forgotten the name of it now. He's been doing it for many years. I think if you just plugged in Monteith, M-O-N-T-E-I-T-H, M-D, his name is Stanley K. Monteith, on the web, you'd probably turn something up on Monterey, California, see what's on out there. He's got a radio program out there, I know that, or at least he did have. All right, last time we were talking about the Tuskegee study. That's where we got to. We're up to the Tuskegee study, talking about Global 2000. Well, in recent history, we have seen the influence of occult population control advocates here in America. Nowhere is that influence better demonstrated than in the Tuskegee study. That was a scientific research program in which 400 syphilis-infected black men were recruited by the U.S. Public Health Service in 1932. The participants were all told that they would be treated for their infections, but instead of treating their illness, all medicines were withheld. The black men were then actively prevented from obtaining treatment elsewhere, as their bodies and the bodies of their wives and children were systematically ravaged by the disease. The evil men who conceived that Nazi-style study justified this atrocity by alleging that scientists needed to learn how untreated syphilis progressed in the human body. So for a period of 40 years, between 1932 and 1972, this genocidal Tuskegee study continued. It was not until 1972, when one newspaper finally had the courage to break the story to the public, that the Tuskegee study was finally terminated. By that time, only 125 of the original 400 black men had survived. To this very day, 24 years after the end of that grotesque human experiment, none of the perpetrators of that atrocity have ever been accused of or indicted for their crimes. Now, back in 1932, when the Tuskegee study began, Margaret Sanger's ideas had already begun to infect the minds and souls of physicians and scientists here in the United States. According to Margaret Sanger's sense of morality, experiments on human weeds were fully justified in the name of science. Now, do you honestly believe for one moment that such an experiment would have been tolerated here in America had the participants been white men? Another far more effective method of reducing the world population was devised in the early 1960s by a group of environmentalists and population control adherents. They set out to block the use of DDT for mosquito and malaria control after it had been found that the insecticide was extremely effective in saving human lives. Alexander King, president of the Club of Rome, wrote, quote, "My own doubts came when DDT was introduced. In Guyana, within 2 years, it had almost eliminated malaria. So my chief quarrel with DDT in hindsight is that it has greatly added to the population problem." Unquote. In 1970, the National Academy of Sciences, in their book Life Sciences, stated that, quote, "In little more than two decades, DDT has prevented 500 million deaths due to malaria." Unquote. Now, to population control advocates, this irresponsible preservation of human life was unconscionable. So they set out to outlaw further use of the pesticide. Now, up to 1970, all reliable scientific data had consistently demonstrated that DDT was completely safe for both humans and animals. Indeed, DDT was the safest pesticide ever known to mankind. Furthermore, it was inexpensive and it could be widely used in third world countries to control the spread of insect-borne diseases. Accordingly, population control adherents set out to have DDT banned in the name of saving the environment. And you've probably read the contrived stories alleging that DDT caused softening of eggshells, interfered with the balance of nature, and endangered humanity by entering into our food chain. In truth, all of these stories were fabricated and were simply part of a carefully coordinated program to block further use of the life-saving pesticide because it prolonged and created greater human population. If you're interested in learning the truth concerning the deceitful campaign waged against DDT, then I suggest that you order a copy of my audio-taped interviews with Dr. J. Gordon Edwards. Dr. Edwards is a world-renowned biologist who led the fight in the 1960s to counter all of this propaganda program that was waged by environmentalists and population control advocates to ban further use of DDT. And you can order a copy of Dr. Edwards' excellent monograph, Remembering Silent Spring and Its Consequences. Now, William Ruckelshaus was a longtime member of the Environmental Defense Fund and the director of the EPA. He outlawed further use of DDT in 1972, despite the recommendation of the chairman of the EPA investigating committee, which had heard 6 months of testimony on use of the pesticide and had determined that DDT was completely safe. When Ruckelshaus outlawed further use of DDT, he signed the death warrant for hundreds of millions of helpless human beings living in third world countries. To those energized by the dark side, however, the loss of hundreds of millions of human lives was relatively inconsequential, and indeed necessary for the salvation of planet Earth. And in his excellent monograph, Remembering Silent Spring and Its Consequences, Professor J. Gordon Edwards quoted from a speech delivered by Victor Yancone, founder of the Environmental Defense Fund. In that speech, Dr. Yancone related a story told to him by a reporter who had asked Dr. Charles Worster, one of the major opponents of DDT, whether a ban on the insecticide DDT wouldn't actually result in far greater use of much more toxic pesticides. And Dr. Worster is reported to have replied, quote, "So what? People are the cause of all of the problems. We have too many of them. We need to get rid of some of them, and this is as good a way as any." And then asked by the same reporter, "Doctor, how do you square the killing of people with the mere loss of some birds?" Dr. Worster is reported to have replied, quote, "It doesn't really make a lot of difference because organophosphate acts locally and only kills farm workers, and most of them are Mexicans and Negroes," unquote. Now, how many people have died in the past 25 years since the use of DDT was outlawed? Well, if the National Academy of Sciences was correct in their 1970 assessment that 500 million lives had been saved by DDT over a 20-year period, then we have probably lost well over 600 million human lives during the past 25 years since advocates of population control succeeded in outlawing DDT. Now, the relationship between abortion, breast carcinoma, and population control. So let me offer another example of a population control program which is being promoted here in the United States today. Many physicians have expressed their concern about the dramatic increase in breast carcinoma, that's breast cancer, seen in women in recent years. Now, despite the fact that 18 scientific studies published in both domestic and foreign medical journals have clearly demonstrated the direct causal relationship between first trimester abortion and breast cancer, all efforts to disseminate that information here in the United States have been consistently blocked by those who favor abortion and population control. In the fall of 1996, a new scientific paper dealing with a meta-analysis of 23 different scientific studies on the relationship between first trimester abortions and breast cancer was published in a British medical journal. That study clearly demonstrated a higher incidence of breast cancer in women who had had first trimester abortions. In response to that publication, the American Medical Association, the AMA, and the American Cancer Society, the ACS, and pro-abortion population control advocates joined together in an unholy alliance to attack the conclusions of the authors and to block all further efforts to disseminate that information to American physicians. All of the organizations mentioned above continue to oppose efforts to have physicians warn women of the risk that they face when they submit themselves to first trimester abortion. Now, hang on here a second. I gotta see if I can find page 7. Here we go. First trimester abortions. Before carrying out all surgical procedures in America, advised consent is required, except for abortion. Now, the AMA, the ACS, and the pro-death lobby continue to insist that women must not be advised of the risk they incur when they destroy the life of their unborn child. Why is there such inconsistency? Current abortion policies in America are absolutely necessary to reduce our population, and that's why a minor child can be taken from school to an abortion clinic without any parental notification, and yet that same child cannot be given an aspirin without parental consent. It all has to do with population control. Now, here's an example of population control in Russia today. Another dramatic example of population control is the tragedy being played out in the former Soviet Union today in regard to male longevity. In Russia, the lifespan of the average Russian male has dropped precipitously over the past several decades. The average life expectancy of an American male is 74 to 78 years of age, and in Japan, the average lifespan is 78 years. But the average lifespan of Russian men has fallen from 68 years in the 70s to 63.8 years in 1985 to 57.7 years in 1994. It is estimated that if current trends continue, the average lifespan of a Russian male will be 53 years shortly after the turn of the century. Now that's 2000. Do you really believe that this shocking reduction in lifespan is happening simply by accident in Russia? The true cause of this dramatic reduction in lifespan in Russia will be detailed in my coming book, None Dare Call It Genocide. Now let's take a look at the massacres in Africa. One has only to learn what really happened to the Christians in Rwanda between April and July of 1994 to imagine what may lie in store for Christians here in America at some time in the not-too-distant future. After the Christian Tutsis had been disarmed by government decree in the early 1990s, Hutu-led military forces began to systematically massacre the defenseless Christians. The massacre began in April of 1994 and continued until July of 1994. Using machetes rather than bullets, the Hutu forces were able to create a state of abject terror within the helpless Christian population as they systematically butchered hundreds of thousands of them. The United Nations immediately convened hearings on the genocide taking place in Rwanda. But Madeleine Albright, the American ambassador to the United Nations and later Secretary of State in the Clinton administration, argued strenuously that neighboring African nations should not be allowed to intervene until the civil war had come to an end. Now, in reality, of course, there was no civil war since those being slaughtered had no weapons with which to defend themselves. It was simply a matter of mass murder. It was a matter of genocide. And this genocide being created against the Christian rather than the native Africans. In addition to blocking intervention by neighboring nations, Madeleine Albright also insisted that the word genocide must not be used in the resolution and that the United Nations forces stationed in Rwanda were not to be allowed to interfere. In the 3 months that followed, between one-half and three-quarters of a million Christians were systematically dismembered, hacked to death, and slaughtered in the bloody carnage that ensued. Tens of thousands of Christians were murdered in their churches. Tens of thousands more were murdered in their hospitals and in their schools. And on several occasions, United Nations soldiers stationed in Rwanda actually handed over helpless Christians under their protection to members of the Hutu militia. They then stood by as their screaming charges were unceremoniously hacked to pieces. At the end of the carnage in late July 1994, the American government rewarded the Hutu murderers with millions of dollars in foreign aid. Strangely, the American press was silent and has remained silent about the fact that almost all of those who were slaughtered were Christians. And it was the policies of our government that were primarily responsible for blocking efforts by neighboring African countries to intervene to save them. Now, there are literally dozens of other examples of population control programs which have been implemented throughout our world by modern-day Malthusians in their effort to ensure that the world population is dramatically curtailed. To date, it is estimated that far more than 1 billion human lives have been terminated as a result of the worldwide abortion programs financed by the United States. In addition, we are beginning to see the devastating effects of the AIDS epidemics as this modern-day plague begins to depopulate large areas of both Asia and Africa. And because of the influence of occultic population controllers, all logical efforts to address the HIV epidemic throughout the world continue to be blocked. So rather than utilizing the proven public health methods used with all other diseases, advocates of population control continue to promote both hedonistic sex, sex education, and condom distribution. In the May 1996 issue of Special Warfare, a publication of the John F. Kennedy Special Warfare Center and School, it was noted that, quote, "The immediate future may present other daunting challenges to civil affairs units. Because of complicated social and cultural reasons, AIDS already infects a high proportion of the military and civilian officials of Zaire. It also affects public officials and soldiers in the military in Uganda, Kenya, Zambia, and other Central African countries. In some or all of these countries, government establishments may collapse in the next 10 to 15 years. If this pattern is repeated in other areas where AIDS is spreading at an alarming rate, then civilian rule may also erode or break down in parts of North Africa, the Middle East, India, and Southeast Asia. Let me assure you that there really are hundreds of thousands of occult energized people throughout the world today who honestly believe that human compassion is outmoded and that the inferior peoples of the world must either be allowed to die or be actively exterminated." Now, I will conclude this monograph by quoting from the writings of the English churchman Thomas Malthus, born in 1766, died in 1834. In Malthus' essay, An Essay on the Principles of Population, Malthus wrote, quote, "All children born beyond what would be required to keep up the population to a desired level must necessarily perish unless room may be made for them by the deaths of grown persons. Therefore, we should facilitate, instead of foolishly and vainly endeavoring to impede, the operations of nature in producing this mortality." Unquote. Now, I personally believe that God expects each and every one of us to become involved in the affairs of this world until He returns. Furthermore, I believe that all human life is sacred, and we're told that Christians are to be the salt and the light of the world. The preservative that keeps humanity from rotting What is the Christian church doing today to preserve the lives of the inhabitants of God's green earth? And what are you doing to protect the lives of those who have been targeted by the forces of darkness? Today, the AIDS epidemic is beginning to depopulate both Africa and non-communist countries of Asia. Now, what can you do? Well, you can order my taped interview with Peter Hammond, which tells the story of the murder of the Christian population of Rwanda. You can order my 4-tape set on population control, which includes information on the Georgia Guidestones and the plan of the guides. You have my permission to copy and distribute my audio tapes and this monograph in order to disseminate this information as far and wide as possible. Third, get involved in local political organizations and speak out on these matters on talk radio, in your church, and to your friends. The life you save could well be that of a loved one, a friend, or maybe even your own. And fourth, finally, pray that our Lord will intervene and that our nation can be returned to godly leadership. Always remember the words of St. Paul from Ephesians 6, 11, and 12, "For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against forces of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And then the balance of the monograph is concluded with all of the sources of information, well-documented material. Hey, here's a little something here. Return to Radio Liberty homepage. I think this guy's program, Stanley Monteith, I think his program is called Radio Liberty. And I'm pretty sure that if you went to Radio Liberty on the web, you'd probably find it. Now, he's got a lot of information. I imagine he has a catalog and probably has a lot of good information on this thing of population control. And I've heard some other stories, other tapes that came out of Radio Liberty. In fact, I can see that right here. Let me give you on this document here in the credits. It says www.radioliberty.com/pca.htm. Let me give you that again. That's www.radioliberty.com/pca.htm. There's his web page. Now, in the remaining time that we have left, I'd like to bring in one more witness, a third witness. Remember John Coleman, our first witness. You can get Global 2000, the Global 2000 report. I suggest you also ask for their catalog. This is World in Review, WIR, World in Review, 2533 North Carson Street, Carson City, Nevada, 89706. Or you can call toll-free 1-800-942-0821. Again, that's 1-800-942-0821. And that booklet's called Global 2000. That's $12. And their catalog is free, and there's a subscription price to World in Review. I suggest World in Review because it's a political newsletter, a little different than, say, The Money Changer, which is an economics newsletter, which is aimed primarily at gold and silver, along with Kitco. Remember Kitco.com? That's an easy one to remember, Kitco.com. A number of free economic newsletters come through Kitco. I also have suggested Richard Dottie. You can get him free on Kitco, along with others. And then the International Forecaster, that's Bob Chapman down in Punta Gorda, Florida. That's $130 a year. And the reason I suggest these newsletters is to keep you informed as to what's going on around you, because CBS, ABC, Fox, and ABC are not telling you the truth, number one, and they're not keeping you informed, number two. They keep you informed of the nonsense that you don't need to know. But the serious events that are going on around the world that are life-threatening to you and your family, there isn't a word being said. And that's because our government, along with the media, along with international geopolitical organizations like the Club of Rome, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, and so on, have an agenda. And their agenda is to reduce Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years. Now, Jesus of Nazareth had something to say about that, so stand by and let me give you our break, intermission break information, and then we'll come back and I'll give you the third witness here from the Scripture, God Himself. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Gordon Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. And The Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log, schedule, and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. One more item here I guess I should share with you, and that is that the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of the network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to the website georgegordon.org or call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, now the Scripture instructs us that, you know, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. You'll see that in Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. Now we've seen two witnesses, Stanley Monteith and John Coleman. Let's take a look at the third witness, Jesus of Nazareth. And you might want to write these down, because in the 30 minutes that we have left, I don't have time to read all of it. But I'm going to just take one section, one chapter, and read you some poignant comments that Jesus had to say. His disciples came to him in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And as Jesus went out and departed from the temple, his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, well, see you not all of these things? And truly, I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. I might point out that the Wailing Wall is still there. The foundation of Solomon's temple is still there. Either Jesus didn't know what he was talking about, he exaggerated, he lied, or he just flat didn't know when he said, look at these stones on this wall. Not one of them is going to be left standing on another. Now, that hasn't happened yet. So every time I hear somebody say, Jesus has returned, or Jesus is coming, I always say, well, not yet. Not yet. As long as those stones are in that wall, you can rest assured that the Messiah hasn't come yet and is not coming yet. Otherwise, this prophecy in Matthew 24, verse 2, is false. Which, of course, most people believe. Most people, I'd say, you know, around, you know, 90%. 90% of people believe Jesus was a liar, a fake, a fraud, and a charlatan, and didn't know what he was talking about. And that's the religious people. Those are the guys who go to church every Sunday. Now, you might want to jot these down. I've put together all of the chapters that deal with this population control agenda, the second coming, and the events that we're witnessing here in the 20th century. More than 100 million people in the world were killed in the 20th century by war. War by itself killed 100 million. Now, that's only a tenth of a billion, and in spite of that death toll, population continued to grow. And so the population control people have introduced disease. And there are some prophecies in the Bible that deal with famine, plague, disease, and war. Did you know that? Here they are. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. The three gospel accounts of the Great Tribulation. Three gospel accounts. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Now, those three chapters are extrapolated from two prophecies that Moses gave us in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So you start your research in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21. Those three chapters cover essentially the same thing, except that each chapter will tell you a little bit that the other chapters don't tell you. So you have to take all three of them. Then Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28 are the core prophecies that Moses wrote. And these five chapters explain. They give you the understanding that we see in Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, 18, and 19. So if you took the book of Revelation from chapter 6 through 19 and took out chapter 10 and 15, those 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 12 chapters, along with the 5 chapters in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Deuteronomy 28, and Leviticus 26 will tell you the same story that Global 2000 and John Chapman and Stanley Monteith and Radio Liberty have been telling us here with the Georgia Guidestones and all of the sources from Malthus up to Margaret Sanger and others, our political leaders today, have been saying and have been working toward over the last 200 years. These prophecies are now coming to pass right before our very eyeballs. Listen to this. In Matthew 24, verse 3, the Messiah went on to say, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and they said, well, tell us, boss, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? So Jesus answered and said to them, will you take heed that no man deceive you? For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. All right, so we've already seen that. There are 476 religious denominations here in the United States, and they're all over here preaching about Jesus and Him crucified, and 475 of them are lying deceptions. One of them's telling you the truth. And our problem is we don't know which one that is, and it could well be that all 476 are lying deceptions, and there's a 477th answer out there. Okay, so we've seen number one. He said, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. The 20th century has seen more people killed from war than any other century in the history of the world, at least that we have any records of. 100 million killed in war. He goes on to say, though, in verse 7 here, that there shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in different places around the world. Well, we are hearing about famines, disease epidemics like AIDS and malaria, and earthquakes, which are getting bigger, more violent, more often, and killing more people. And they've been growing over the past century. That prophecy has come to pass right before your very eyeballs. Verse 8, all of these are the beginning of sorrows. This isn't the Great Tribulation, boys and girls. This is the beginning of the Great Tribulation, called the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and they shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So what you saw, you Christians, being killed in Rwanda, and Christians being persecuted around the world, is a prophecy that Jesus gave you, and there it is, right in front of your eyeballs. It's been going on for 2,000 years, and it's going to get worse as we progress along, because there's more of you Christians out there today than there has ever been in the history of the world before. More than 1 billion of you as of this moment in time. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. The majority of people are deceived by these false prophets. The first horse of Revelation 6, the white horse, is deception. Everywhere we go, there's deception. There's deception in the population control agenda. On the one hand, you have public leaders like George Bush saying we need to donate or we need to spend $15 billion on AIDS research and to help AIDS victims. At the very same time, these people belong to occult groups, population control groups like Skull and Bones and the Euthanasia Society and so on. These leaders are lying deceivers. But of course, if they came to you and said, we don't want to spend any money on AIDS research, we want to kill as many people as possible with AIDS. You see, a lying deceiver doesn't tell you the truth. If you knew the truth, you wouldn't let the lying deceiver kill you, would you? Going on, he says in verse 12, and because iniquity, that's lawlessness, sin, crime, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And today in America, we see abortion as nothing more than a birth control device. The love of many has waxed cold. At least half our population in America is what we call right to choose. Right to choose. Not right to life, but right to choose. Then we've got the other half called right to life. So here in America, about one half of our population, we can see here, the love of many has waxed cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand. That's the statue of Simon Magus. Well, the temple hasn't been rebuilt in Jerusalem yet, but when it is, it will be a pagan temple representing the Temple of Solomon, which will have the statue of Simon Magus inside of it. It will be a pagan abomination. Hasn't occurred yet, but it's on the horizon. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, and let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. This is going to be a time of great war, disease, famine, pestilence. And remember, speaking of Palestine, this is the place where the Battle of Megiddo, 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem, takes place. You're beginning to see that develop in the Middle East with the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. On the horizon will be war with Syria, Iran. And then, when peak oil really sets in, you can expect the Chinese and the Indians to come into the Middle East to take their share of the oil. But pray you that your flight be not in the winter and neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor shall ever be. And in Ezekiel 5, verse 9, there's a corollary there that talks about nuclear war. And I noticed that in three newsletters in the past, 30 days, I've seen the term nuclear war pop up. Three newsletters over the past month or so. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Fortunately, God says, if I didn't intervene, you humans would destroy all life from off the planet. Now, that's the bad news. Good news is, I'm going to intervene before you do that. Now, in the meantime, the Global 2000 people have in mind that they're going to reduce the population by 90%. Now, once this disease gets spread around the world, you know, and ultimately, if God doesn't intervene, it's going to kill all of us. Fortunately for all of us, he's going to intervene, but he's not going to intervene until 90% are dead. Now, take a look at Isaiah 6 verse 13, he says, I will save, that's an inset chapter now, I will save a tithe of you alive. Remember, the Bible is written line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28, 9 through 13, that's the code. Now take Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13, and Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17, put those two together, and that'll give you the code so that you can code plead the Bible out. That's all we're doing here, just code plead it out. Then in verse 23 it says, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or there, don't believe it. So if you've heard somebody say, Christ has already returned, he's over here, he's over there, he says, well, don't believe that. It ain't so. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If it were possible, the people that he calls the chosen ones or the called out ones. Remember, twice in the book of Matthew, the Messiah used this term. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. Those that are chosen are called the elect. For all the rest of you people out there that have not been selected in this first resurrection, don't panic. Don't panic. There's a second resurrection. That's where you're coming up. You want to avoid the third resurrection, if it's at all possible. That's the resurrection to damnation or condemnation, as the scripture has it. Condemnation, destruction, the lake of fire. Not very many people will be going into the lake of fire, but there are some. Probably a few million. That are going to be absolute recalcitrants and say, absolutely, I will not practice the Ten Commandments and I will not obey God and keep His commandments. And God said, that's fine, there's no problem there. No problem. We'll take care of you. We got a place for people like you. But most people, most of you listening to me right now, are not coming up in the first resurrection. I would like to, but there's no guarantee that little Georgie Gordon's going to appear in the first resurrection either. So if I don't make the first, I'll probably make the second. I'm not anti-God, and I'm not anti-Scripture, and I'm not trying to fight against God. I'm working as hard as I can to see if I can qualify. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. If I don't make it, it's kind of like going to West Point, you know? If you don't try, if you don't apply, if you don't do the best you can, you're not going to be selected. And if you do, your chances of being selected aren't very good. But just because you aren't selected for West Point doesn't mean that you couldn't get into some other college or some other university. Now, behold, I've told you before. Now, he's telling you, now I've told you what's coming. Now, pay attention. Now you know. Verse 26, he says, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth, behold, he's in the secret chambers, don't believe it. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When the Messiah returns, you won't miss it. CNN will probably be there to report it, as will be Fox and probably ABC and NBC and CBS. It will be an event that everybody is going to know about. So, if you thought that Jesus has returned or is about to return and he's going to come back secretly, he just told you right here in Matthew 24, verses 26 and 27, don't believe it. So, you can believe whatever you want, but I don't think that he's here yet. In verse 28, for whosoever, or wheresoever rather, the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's the elect. Wherever the carcass, wherever the Messiah is, the elect will be gathered there with him. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. You're going to see some pretty significant astrological signs in the heavens. There will be meteor showers, maybe even a comet or two strike the earth, and the sun is going to be blocked out probably by volcanic eruptions and clouded over like Krakatoa in 1882 or 3. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So when he comes back, it's not going to be some hidden event. It's going to be right out there for everybody to see. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from the one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable. Now from one end of the heaven to the other, it would appear to me that this is a takeoff of Deuteronomy 30 verse 5, which says that he'll gather in any that are lost out in space. I suspect there's some out there either from before Noah's flood or will be in the future. I haven't heard of very many being lost out there in space. The Russians might have lost a couple. But it appears that there's going to be a number of them lost in space that are going to be returned to planet Earth. Then in verse 32, he says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise you, when you shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So even truly I say unto you that this generation shall not pass until all of these things be fulfilled." So when this thing begins, a generation is 40 years. When all those things begin, the Great Tribulation, it'll all be over in 40 years. Our problem is that I don't know when the 40 years begins. But I can see the events, you know, the general geopolitical events taking place and have throughout the 20th century. And they're getting worse. You know, people have said, well, there's always been wars. Oh, yeah, that's true. There always have been. But they're getting worse. And take a look at Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. Compare those with Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. And then take Revelation 6 through 19, leaving out chapter 10 and 15, and see if that doesn't tell you the same story over here that Global 2000 and Stanley Monteith has told you. And just it expands upon it. There's a lot more to it. But population control, this Revelation 6 talks about, for instance, the four horses of the apocalypse of the Revelation: famine, disease, war, pestilence, deception. Well, one of those four horsemen talks about the fourth part of men were destroyed. Now, you know, think about that for a minute. That's kind of biblical proportions. There's 6 billion people in the world, and when a fourth part of men are destroyed in this one disease and plague epidemic, that's 1.5 billion people, boys and girls. That's a bunch. And you're seeing it with the AIDS pandemic around the world now. I suspect that it'll take about the fourth part of men. Then there's wars that come beside that. And that's not all, but that's, you know, 1/4. That's quite a bunch. "Now heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now he was pretty cocky there. He said, you know, heaven and earth may pass away, but what I'm telling you is coming to pass, and you can bank on it. Verse 36, he says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Now he says in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left." When the Messiah returns, you people will be sitting in church in a wedding. You'll be on the freeway on your way to work. You will not have a clue that the second coming is about to occur. Now, I've thought, well, gee, you know, when all of these great tribulation events are transpiring, my God, boys and girls, they're transpiring right in front of your face today, and you haven't seen it. AIDS has grown from a nothing disease in 1980 to a worldwide pandemic affecting tens of millions today, and it's growing geometrically. Every few years, it doubles in scope. Here you are witnessing the destruction of 1.5 billion human beings in progress. And you haven't noticed that. And that's because the love of many has waxed cold. It's just a statistic to you. It doesn't mean anything. We're just jaded to what's going on around us. No, we're in the death throes of civilization and humanity. We just haven't paid attention. He says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord has made ruler over his household? to give them meat in due season. And blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Truly I say to you that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be some sadness going on here, boys and girls. Now notice that he used the term, watch you therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come. Well, now he told us, he said, only the Father knows. The angels of heaven don't know. Jesus himself does not know when he's coming back. Did you catch that? Let me read it to you again. He said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. But of that day and hour knowest no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Okay. Now, if Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back, what in the world would make a lot of these people say, well, Jesus has returned, or Jesus is coming, or? Now, he gave us some signs, and he said, pay attention and watch. Now, if you were watching, you would be subscribing to what? Time and Newsweek and Life, and maybe be watching Fox News. Do you think you're going to get any straight information out of the news media? Or do you think maybe you better be paying attention? Do you think maybe this Global 2000 report, maybe that's got some, maybe the Georgia Guidestones, had you ever heard of those before? You know, until I read this population control agenda, which is, you know, quite a few years ago now, I think I probably read this 10 years ago. But I'm just pointing out that I didn't know anything about those Georgia Guidestones. Here they build a monument down here like Stonehenge in Georgia to tell you what their plan is, which dovetails perfectly with Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, and Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, 18, and 19. It isn't that we haven't been told, isn't that we haven't been warned, isn't that there isn't a guide there, it's that nobody's paying attention. And you're not going to find it in your local Christian church. I mean, those pulpit parrots haven't got a clue as to what's coming down next. And most of them will tell you, over half of the preachers in America will tell you, the Bible has got all kinds of errors in it. And it's just written by a bunch of bearded clowns that didn't know what they were talking about. And that's your preacher standing up there in the pulpit every Sunday for the 65% of you that go to church every Sunday. And remember that 75% of the 65% have hardcore porn coming into their houses that they pay for every month. They subscribe to it. No wonder our people have become jaded. Half of our people practice abortion as birth control, for crying out loud. We don't have natural affection. Well, there's the story of Global 2000, boys and girls. I'm about out of time, so let me give you the reminder that I have to give you here at the end of each program. And that is that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School at 417-273-4967. And the Law Hour brings you, the Law Hour rather is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's it. Time's up. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, of course. So until then, good night, friends.